The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As soon as Jesus and the disciples left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought him to all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. First, let me apologize for my voice and my cough. I assure you I am no longer contagious, just irritating and irritated, actually. I have this lingering cough that just won't seem to go, but I have been equipped with a boatload of medication, and hopefully it'll be gone soon. Well, if there is one thing that we can take from our passage this morning, one thing we can take even from the entirety of Mark's gospel, is this. Jesus is a very busy guy. This morning, we find Jesus and some of his disciples right where we left them last week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as one of my favorite shows likes to say. Last week, they were at the synagogue in Capernaum during the Sabbath, where Jesus was teaching and astounding his audiences and casting an unclean spirit out of a man. And later, that same day, that evening, is where we find them this week, entering the home of Simon and Andrew. And in just a handful of hours, it seems, a whole lot happens. In a strikingly intimate encounter, Jesus heals Simon's feverish mother-in-law, who in turn sets the table and serves them all. And nearly as quickly as that transpires, the whole city gathers at the front door, waiting to find healing from this amazing and busy guy. One of the more frequently used words in Mark's gospel is the word euthyos, which, that's the Greek word, euthyos, and when translated into English, is best understood as straight away or immediately. Other similar expressions occur throughout the gospel as well, and the combination of these expressions, when compounded, have the effect of ramping up the pace of things and implying a great urgency to the public ministry of Jesus. Heck, even the fact that the book of Mark begins, not with any sort of birth narrative, but at the moment of his baptism, well into adulthood, can give us the sense that something important is happening here, and we have no time to waste with genealogies and stargazing and great mytho-poetical musings. The kingdom of God has come near, and we've got a lot of work to do. And now that I've got you thinking about this word immediately and its companion words or phrases, listen to our passage again. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed by demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, that's early, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout all Galilee proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. Can you feel it? The immediacy, the urgency, the action. In Luke's gospel, we hear a great tale of Jesus' life, beginning with that beloved birth narrative, which we revisit every Christmas. We hear Mary's powerful song, and we are reminded again and again about the upending power of the great reversal, where the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That is inherent to Jesus' message. Matthew grants us a view of history with Jesus' genealogy and offers us a glimpse into the kingdom of God through parable after parable. And the great mystic John brings us a poetic and deeply theological text that highlights the cosmic and eternal reality of Jesus, the Word made flesh. And while there is action in all of these other gospel accounts, Mark's gospel seems to bring it the most. Stripped of poetry, historical context, and powerful ideas, Mark gives us the story of a man hard at work with a very important deadline that cannot be avoided. Mark gives us a picture of Jesus, a man of action, a man who has a lot to accomplish. So much of our experience and identity as Christians is relegated to the realm of ideas, of feelings, of philosophies, allegiances, and stories that we love to hear. And all of these things are good things. They are the central aspects of our worship, our time together each Sunday morning or Wednesday evening here at Christ the King. They are central for a reason. But we do our faith a disservice and risk wasting the power of the gospel by restricting our existence as God's beloved children, as those named and claimed in the waters of holy baptism, as people who have been saved by the life and death and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, to a set of ideas that we hold, a list of things that we agree to, or a warm and fuzzy feeling that we feel humming in the background and maybe a little more acutely before lunchtime on Sunday. Action is what is required. Being good Lutherans, we know that we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. We know that there is nothing we can do to earn or lose this gift of God's abundant and merciful love. However, we also know that as it is written in the book of James, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." We are called not simply to ascribe ourselves to the things Jesus said, but to do the things he did. We are called not simply to have love in our hearts for our neighbors, but to perform acts of love for them. We are called not simply to believe, but also to do. For if we say that we believe we have been saved from our own sinfulness and death by the power of God in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, then we must also ask of ourselves this question: for what? In these past weeks, as we have explored these questions of identity, as we have explored what it means to be a place of welcome, a place of faith, a place of gathering for God's people, every testimony that I have heard from each of you, whether it's from the lectern or in conversation, each of those testimonies has been filled not simply with ideas or feelings or stories, but with real action. The action people have done in your lives, the action God has taken in your lives, the action you yourselves have taken in your own lives. Our God is a God of beautiful ideas, incredible stories, and deeply, deeply moving truths. But our God is a God of action, too. Being created in God's image, let our lives be more than just feelings, stories, and ideas. Let our lives be more than just what might fit on a page. Let our lives be lives of action, of good work. And let us be about that work immediately, straight away, right now. For as Martin Luther famously said, God does not need your good works, but your neighbor does. Amen.